Isabel Mendoza, the Sukasa, at their Sukasa warehouse in Northeast Portland. This is Northeast. Okay, now I wonder if you can talk about things you learned by experience. Were there any like major mistakes that stand out in your mind from the early days of the business that either one of you can bring to mind that were important learning experiences, let's say?
Well, there's always mistakes. I used to want to do too many things. That was a big mistake. Frankly, wanting to do too many things and not really understanding the financial statements. Those are major, major mistakes.
Isabel, anything comes to mind?
Well, I personally haven't made any major decisions in this business. I pretty much have supported him, but I don't think, as far as myself, I've made any major decisions that I've had to learn from. I kind of stick to my own thing. I keep the social service end of the business.
And let's see, you decided to devote full time to the business in 1990, was it?
Yes.
So you resigned your job at Hoodie?
Yes, I did.
And by that time, you were still in the Western Auto location, is that right?
No, we were at
the present one, is that right?
Exactly.
Okay. So was it at that transition that you decided to leave Hoodie's then, or right when you moved to the new location or the present location?
Yes, we moved in, I believe it was in early 1990, and I think I left Hoodie's late 1990.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was reading a newspaper story, early one, about Sukasa, and noticed that there were some, that when you were appearing before the Hillsborough City Council, I think trying to get a liquor license, probably for the restaurant, and I guess it was for the restaurant, because the article said you had a package liquor license already, but there was reservations because of your location and because of the previous tenant, is that right?
Yeah.
And so that was a problem you had to overcome, I guess, at least in that specific instance.
Actually, I had to go and present ourselves. I had to present Sukasa before OLCC at a hearing and pretty much defend ourselves with the fact that, you know, that I felt that, you know, it was unjust what they were doing to us. And I think they were trying to, because of the problems in that area, because it's a high active area, they didn't want to allow us to have the liquor license, and just had to go over there and justify why I felt, you know, they were being so unfair. And that time I presented, of course, his and my, history, police report, and of course had nothing to worry about, and asked them, you know, to do some whatever research needed possible to give us an opportunity. And then at the time also, because of that problem, we had an open house, you know, inviting all the neighbors. I remember we printed invitations and went personally and invited our neighbors to come in, and OLCC was there, and a lot of our supporters. We had some city officials that you know, police officers that came, and it was wonderful because of that problem. And we also put an agenda together and have a meeting shortly after the open house concerning this, and I took all the results of that to OLCC, and they granted us because of our, you know, our pursuit. And also we talked to, again, Cameron Warren, and the city police, and between them two suggested the idea, well, after me, came up with the idea of donating that one space in the front, some retail space for a satellite police, satellite office.
But that was like, what, a couple of years after that?
Oh, right. And that was, that really helped also clean up the area, and has really been encouraging every time we've had to go to OLCC to renew or whatever, and because of that big move we made there.
Yeah.
And actually.
And who thought up the idea of having the open house?
I did.
So it was sort of a community outreach.
Actually, it wasn't my idea. It was Mr. Warren's idea.
Uh-huh.
It was Mr. Warren's idea. He suggested it.
Okay.
He suggested to have an open house, and he gave us the idea. And I just followed through on it.
You
yes.
You took care of business.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. But it was his idea.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. To invite their neighborhood and, you know.
And by this time, you'd already probably developed some relationships with people in the city because of your earlier business locations.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And had a reputation.
We've always had a lot of support and a lot of supporters. And because we never had any, thank God, had any problems, you know, people have been able to.
At the point when you moved into that, to your present location, then was the business pretty much on a profitable footing at that point?
You know, we both worked at our jobs, and I remember that being a hobby until after we met Mr. Warren. And he started teaching us that a business is to make money. I started paying more attention to that and understanding what was profitable. I think before then we really didn't know. Money was just coming in. We were paying our bills. We were paying our taxes. It was all going back, but no understanding of. I enjoyed it so much, and I still do. That no matter what, how much money I used to put in a check from Hoodies into one check, two checks. From Hoodies into the business, I remember for the longest time, because I always wanted to have merchandise. I always wanted to make the store look full, nice. And as far as profitable, I really didn't understand what that was, you know. I just enjoyed it so much that I just kept, instead of taking money out, putting money in, and as far as really being profitable, I really didn't understand that up until I met Mr. Warren.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you weren't really drawing a salary at all from the business then?
No. We were putting money into it.
Right. And living off of your salary then? Is that how it worked? Actually, do you have children?
Yes. We have three.
Are they involved in the business at all?
The oldest shortly left us. She left us 3 years ago. Actually, she left us probably about 5 years ago full-time. And she stayed with us part-time up to a couple, 3 years ago, I think. No, a couple, 2 years ago when her son started school. And our other two, one's 17 and one's 15, they both are definitely involved in the business. Yes.
So you have a daughter?
Three daughters.
Three daughters.
Three daughters. Okay. Erica, Donna Lisa, and Vanessa.
So building a business, working two full-time jobs, and raising a family.
Yes. Yes. Yep. I had both kids, the last two kids, through the business.
Now you mentioned that satellite police station. That you say you donated the space for that.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds then like at least at that point, maybe before, the two of you and Sincasa were sort of getting involved with the community at large in Hillsboro. I wonder if you could tell me just a little bit about, what kinds of, well, I know for one thing you just won the Minority Business Award, but what kinds of involvements have you had with the larger Latino community out in Hillsboro?
Well, we're involved in pretty much any Hispanic event that goes on, whether it's a celebration of 16th of September or whatever celebration, that involves the Hispanic community, any kind of celebration. I myself participated in the Hillsboro 2020 planning for quite some time. I was also involved with the Hillsboro Chamber of Commerce for a short time, and I'll probably end up going back as of today. We were invited to one of the Hillsboro Police Department, the Hillsboro Police Department planning, 5-year planning. So they invited us to that. What else? As of January, I'll be sitting on the the board of the directors. What is that for? Washington County Fairgrounds on the board. I don't know what position, whatever, but they've been nominated yes. So it's pretty much it, right?
And when the satellite police station was set up in your soil, that was because of gang activity and other problems that are in that part of the soil?
And
that
yes.
And how has that gone?
Oh, it's perfect now.
Yeah.
We thank God that Chief of Police is very helpful. Chief and his staff.
Mm-hmm.
We're just grateful with the city.
It's really important to have that. Let me rephrase. We didn't donate. We gave up the space with agreements, and Mr. Warren made all prior arrangements for the releasing of the space. But that was built within our store, and it was just a matter of giving up the space and building up those walls and giving that up. That's what
I
it was.
See.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're actually a renter then from Mr. Warren to the
now there. Yes. Right. With our support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. We financially support that space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For the satellite office. What I was going to say is that that area is and will always be an active area, 24-hour foot traffic, and because of that, it's important to keep that satellite office there. We're between two convenience stores, 24-hour, open 24 hours, convenience stores, bus stops running 24 hours, the bus, the max now.
Yeah.
So, So it's increasing the foot traffic in that area, a lot of apartment, a lot of, you know, families with no cars and stuff like this. So it's important to keep that satellite. It's really done well for us and the neighborhood. And that was the idea, you know, was to keep some, not control, more of a friendly neighborhood, safe more than anything. You know, we want to be the business to be a place where the families feel comfortable and safe coming, or, you know.
And you said, would you say then that things have improved since?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes. 100%.
And with respect to the larger community, what kinds of problems do you think that might still exist out there for the average Latino person living in the area?
I think if there's any, it's very little. In an area, especially in the Hillsborough area, it's such a common thing to be Hispanic, maybe not even speak English, but the people in this area are so friendly and so well-giving that if they see a need, whether it's in translation or in any kind of service, I see people coming forward to help. Anymore, even in the area, you'll find bilingual services everywhere you go, whether it's in, you know, at the bank or at the schools, at anywhere you go. A lot of the businesses are bringing in more bilingual people and more of the Hispanic people that are establishing a home here in the States, you know, are more apt to learn the English language, go to school, you know, and be able to do for themselves. So I don't see a lot of problems in, I don't see them, or maybe I don't hear about them anymore as much. Is that what you're talking about, or?
I guess another thing I'm a little bit curious about is that you both came from different parts of the United States to Washington County, and came here because things were going to be a little better.
Right.
And I've heard this from other people as well. So what is it about Oregon or about that area that makes it better than other places, would you say?
Well, I'll speak for myself. As far as myself, I came to Oregon as an adult, and I saw better opportunities here. I saw people. I saw people ready to help you, and again, open those doors for opportunities for you. Instead of coming from a small town, 98% Hispanic, you know, just being typically a small town, there's too many politics and too much. It's really hard to grow if you're not involved in politics and in any other kind of rat race there. It's like there's no opportunity for good jobs or even careers there. So you have to move out. You have to move out of town for a better lifestyle. You go back and it's still, you know, they haven't upgraded. And so coming here, I saw a whole different life. Oregon was a whole different life for me. Completely different life than New Mexico. And then also seeing opportunities, not just for myself, but my daughter and my mother and my brothers and my sister. This is the place to be. I wanted to be part of that. I wanted to be involved. I wanted to be able to do for myself and do for others later in life, you know, invest. That's what I saw. I saw opportunity.
Anything to add to that?
Well, for myself, from 67 to 74, my father would take us back to Mexico, and I always dreamed to go back to Mexico. Sometime in 74, 75, my father decided to that Mexico wasn't for us anymore. Things were changing, and decided to just stay here. So I was still young, and I always wanted to. I thought I would go back, but then good things started happening here,
uh-huh.
and I just kind of looked at it as, a good place to be, but my heart was in Mexico for the longest time. But now that I have my good family and the business, my heart is here now. So it took a long time for me to think that I would, stay here. That's what I can say about that.
I guess I should ask you a few questions about maybe more recent growth of Sincasa. I know now that you're operating outside of Hillsboro in Yakima. We've got two warehouses. Is one of them up there? I guess.
Yes.
How did this expansion take place? How did you grow up into the Yakima business as well?
My vision is to be big, to have a big business someday. And I keep thinking to myself, if we started small and not knowing anything about business, and we just grew and grew, and I just see big opportunities up in the Yakima or Seattle area. And, I think, Sucas is not going to stop until we totally covered. Hopefully, I look at Les Schwab's. He's everywhere. I would like to be similar to Les Schwab's, especially with his fine programs that he's got. I just see I don't know how to tell you, but I just see that there's a lot of growth to conquer.
And when did you start the Yakima part of the business?
It was last year around this time.
Last year? Okay, yeah. So it's a relatively new thing.
Yes, yes.
And how's it going?
It's going great.
Good.
It's going great.
And how did you set that up?
Well, we started. I started delivering last year from here, and I noticed that there was a good opportunity.
Deliver to businesses up there.
Yes. Yes.
And this sort of thing?
Yes. I would take my truck and deliver over there. And there was so much of it that I thought we have to have a location here to do a better job in service. And you know, that's how it came about.
So you found a place to, yes, to open a store there?
Yes. Yeah, come on.
Is it in downtown Yakima?
It is close to downtown. Mm-hmm. It's on Cherry Avenue. Mm-hmm. Real close to downtown.
Well, great. I've probably taken enough of your time already today, but anything else either of you want to say about business or your success in...
Well, again, you know, we have to give a big credit to our employees because we haven't done it alone. We've had very good employees, very sincere, loyal, and very dedicated to Sukasa.
How many employees do you have?
Right now we have about 68, 70, and within the five locations. We have a lot of good leaders.
And the five locations are?
Salem, Woodburn, Hillsboro, Yakima, and Portland.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of hard work and teamwork. It's taken teamwork. I mean, there's, everybody does what needs to be done. And it's just a matter of rolling up your sleeves and getting it done. And just a big credit to them, and that's why we try and take care of our employees as much as we can. You know, our biggest investment in the business is them. We figure they take care of our customer, we take care of them, and we depend on them a lot. But we also never forget that we can't do it alone. You know, it's important that we recognize them, praise them, and support them. Challenge them, but support them at all times. And we really appreciate them. And, of course, the community for all their support. I can't do it without them either. But
what percentage of your employees are also Latino or Hispanic?
I'd say 90%.
Okay, I noticed that.
Yeah.
Seemed to be the ratio
here
at the warehouse.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Any other final thoughts on your part?
Well, on my part, I enjoy this very much, and it's getting easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, I want to thank you both very much for.
Thank you.
For this interview, and that's your intention to donate this to the Washington County Historical Society?
Yes.
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 Okay, and we'll get you the paperwork for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
And thank you for considering this.
Testing, yeah. We're
So how long have you been in this warehouse space?
We've actually been here 4 or 5 years, but actually opened to the public only a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So customers can come out here and buy case orders? Is that
you bet. Uh-huh. Case orders, or we take phone orders, or this is the main distribution into our stores.
Mm-hmm.
So we distribute it twice a week out into our own retails.
Mm-hmm. I noticed an article in there about your being the business of the year on the wall. You mentioned that there were six locations.
They misunderstood us. We've got five.
Oh, okay.
We've got two warehouses and three retails.
Okay.
There are only five.
And is the other warehouse up in Washington then?
Yeah, come on. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's only been open about a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway... This is everything is case buy only. We have a lot of smaller stores. We have a lot of like deli trucks, lunch trucks. And we have restaurants and small businesses that we supply.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll find here is like a lot of specialty items, like you'll probably never find one of this at Fred Meyer or at Target or anything like that.
Yes, what is this?
These are tortilla presses.
Oh, tortilla presses.
Yeah, this is the middle ones mainly used for the Hispanics. These are more Central American used. And then we have like orange squeezers, lemon squeezers. We've got all the wooden spoons. We've got the molcajetes, which are the grindstones. Now that's where we make our salsas and stuff. We have, you could make your way around here. You know, the different mops.
Oh, yes.
It's a nylon mop that is real common over there because of the rough floors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have every kind of comal that you could imagine here. We've got the tin, we've got the cast iron, we've got the wrought iron. We've got every kind of cast iron in every shape and size that you could imagine. We've got we've gone into now like party supplies. I'll show you more of that in the front.
Sure.
That's the stuff. We've got washboards and the authentic dustpan.
Uh-huh. Mexican dustpan.
Right. Huh? Then we got, you know, a lot of bulk stuff that a lot we package here and a lot we don't. We sell, like the restaurants will buy the actual, you know, bulk sizes. Then we have some smaller items here that we package under our name.
Oh, yeah. So these are spices, it looks like.
Yes.
Chili pods.
Yes, chili pods and whatever. So we package our own masas, and, you know, there's like 22 items that we package ourselves.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We're not into that 100% yet. But, you know, like we have the long loofahs, so that's called an estropajo.
Mm-hmm.
We got our steamers. So those are all, like, authentic stuff that... It's we try and keep this business specialty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing you'd find probably in other supermarkets.
Uh-huh,
so, and everything so here is pretty much...
They can get that in the supermarket, but they have to come to you
right,
for the rest
right,
of it.
Right, right, yeah. And everything you'll see here is all Hispanic brands,
mm-hmm.
You know, from salt to, I mean, we've got, that was one of my hardest items to find, but the Hispanic label is the salt.
Uh-huh.
But I found it.
La Fina.
La Fina. Uh-huh. We have all kinds of chilies and slices and nacho slices and holes and, you know, the different brands people want.
And most of this is imported from Mexico and Central America?
Yeah, right. Mexico, and now we bring it either from Texas, Arizona, or California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then our coffees, we have coffees and chocolates and, you know, and our maicenas, which are like, you know, like a morning drink.
You have Nescafe, but is that domestic Nescafe, or is that also from Mexico?
It's from Mexico.
Oh, it is.
We even have it in decaf.
Okay.
How's that?
There we go.
Our Jellos. We have candy of all sorts. Chocolate, marshmallow, hard candy. Masas, for every kind of tamale and tortilla you want to make.
And
piñatas.
Piñatas.
Can't have a fiesta without... piñatas. Then we have the beans and, you know, all the dry produce. We have the soap. We carry 4 detergents, which are the main detergents they use in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Lidio, Foca, Roma, and Viva. And
those are different brand names, or are they actually different kinds of soap?
Different brand, different types.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is our candy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's our cup. Then there's our sugar, original sugar from Mexico. See how brown, and it's got a larger crystal to it. So it's real interesting. That's gone real wrong. People are happy we brought those. One of our specialty churritos. This is a nice little snack.
Uh-huh. Sort of look a little like pretzels or something.
They're real similar, but they're a little crunchier than pretzels. They're,
uh-huh.
They're good. They're
maybe a little spicier too. Or?
Well, it comes with a salsa.
Oh,
so
okay.
Spice is optional at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But see, all this stuff, I had to learn about it. Mm-hmm. Because I come from New Mexico. I didn't grow up with a Mexican culture. So I had never seen such things. I never knew about detergents. I never knew about pulpitas. I didn't know about cajetas. I didn't know about a lot of this stuff. See, even our foods are very different from New Mexico. It's more Tex-Mex. And when I came out here and started learning the Mexican culture, I thought, you know, this is interesting. The first time I made enchiladas for my husband, and well, he was my boyfriend at the time, and I invited him over. I said, I'm going to make some enchiladas for dinner. So when he comes over and after I served his dish, he says, I thought you were going to make enchiladas. Yep, these are my enchiladas. See, but this is like...
They were more Tex-Mex.
Right. See, garbanzos.
Oh, yes.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that I had to learn.
Well, I've got to visit your store.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I find a lot of interesting things to...
Chicharrones.
Take home and try.
Yeah. Yes. But with lemon flavor, of course, everything has lemon and chili.
Uh-huh.
That's real common. So we carry two main brands of the Hispanic cookies, and that's the Gamesa and La Moderna. Mm-hmm. Tostadas, of course, that's like everybody has tostadas in their house, you know? Mm-hmm. So we try and carry a couple. We try and have a selection in everything that we have, you know? And then here's our health and beauty and, you know, house cleaning. And again, if you'll notice, look at Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
But it's Maestro Limpio. You know, we have pine, lemon, and we have, most of the shampoos that they would find back home are their Vanarch and their Caprice. Cloralex. It's not just Clorox, it's Cloralex. See?
Uh-huh.
Big difference. And we have juices and drinks and candles for every occasion. Buenos días, ¿cómo están? Bien, gracias. Puede ser que haya más atrás. Nomás preguntarle a Leo. No estoy segura. Yo sé que llegaron la semana pasada bastante, pero también se han llevado un bastante. Ajá. ¿Su señora dónde está?
Ah,
otro. Está bien. Me la saluda, ¿eh? Okay. We have candles. We have a selection of over 100 mm-hmm. saints and no saints and plain, you know, solid. And we have just a lot of everything. Fresh candy, something you won't find at 7-Eleven. See this? This is... You'll find our cooked coconut. Coconut's real popular over there. So you'll find cooked coconut, and have this in coconut. This one, this is more like a buttercream.
Mm-hmm.
We got. Let me open this up. Excuse me. Forklift.
Okay.
Now we have. This is real similar to like a watermelon kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have. Oh, here it is. Pumpkin. Candied pumpkin. It's all candied. You'll notice that. We have pumpkin, and then we also do yams. No yams today. But this is real interesting. We can't keep enough of this.
Yeah, and this really sells.
Right. And see, and this is the kind of stuff my husband has to go and get in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring it fresh, our chicharrones, our tostadas, our fresh candy.
So you import this from Los Angeles, but it comes originally from Mexico?
No. Oh. No, this is made in L.A.
Oh, it is made
Mexican recipe, though.
Okay.
Then we have our cooler. And here's where we keep our cremas. You know, it's a different... There's sour creams, but different kinds that people like, a thicker, you know. We have the chorizos, longanizas. We have the horchatas. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's like a rice water. That's real popular. We have a different jellos. We're pretty short of jellos right now, but it's like, it's it's an authentic jello. See, and then what, this is, normally you'll find this in the flag colors, the red, white, and green. But it's like, I wish I could find it. It's a, as you can see, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but then we also carry, like it's called a cubito. It's the milk jello with little cube, water cube jello. Real interesting. It's different, but it's delicious.
Uh-huh.
And that again, you can go to the store and you can find Lulu's and you can find other brands, but you're not going to find what you find here. Then we go into like the health and beauty tea. This is instead of a, they use this as a, they use that for washing dishes,
mm-hmm.
cleaning the house. I mean, like seeing any, you know, counters, whatever. They use this, it's called an estropajo.
It's and a, it, sort of an abrasive pad, but it's made out of...
It's seaweed.
Seaweed?
Yep, seaweed. Huh. And then we got the corn little brushes. That's also, you know, like what we would use a scrub brush for.
Mm-hmm.
They use those to clean corners and also to clean their stones. Remember the grindstone I showed you? The rock? Okay,
right.
That's to clean those too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we try and keep it as authentic as we can and, you know, have as many specialty items as possible. And, you know, how we find stuff is requests from our customer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's important to us is to be able, because that's how I learned. Talking to my customer, what do you need, what do you use it for, and then my husband would go on, you know, on his weekly trip to California, and I'd send him with a list of stuff to look for.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what this is, but look for it.
He makes the weekly trip?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, he just got his CDL license Saturday. Graduated, and he gets his CDL license this morning. This is our music.
Oh, yes.
Music department. So, we've got about 16 employees here at this warehouse for the different departments. We've got the packers, the music, the office people. We've got our about 6 guys that work in the warehouse, and we got 2 truck drivers
that actually
do deliveries. So, anyway,
okay,
this is
our... great. Thank you very much for the tour.
You bet. And these are the party items that I'm telling you about.
Oh, yes.
See, and what's interesting about this is that you go to Walmart or anywhere and buy party supplies, what you're going to find is invitations, even 8 to a package. Well, you know, in our culture, there's 8 to a family. You know? So you'll notice that all our packaging and party supplies are all over 20. You know, when we have a party, we have a party. Would you like some coffee?
No, thanks.
Let me go hunting down again, Michael.
Okay.